From the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Radio Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, January the 8th, 2017. We're about 11 days out from President-elect Trump becoming president. A lot of things on the menu today. I want to take a look at 8 years ago, because we had a real leading light in the cause of liberty die. You can see a couple of articles linked on the Drudge Report today at Nat Hentoff. And of course, one of the articles that was linked there was one that was done back in, I think it was 1999, said the last honest or real liberal. And they talked about the different positions that he'd taken. They talked about how he was unafraid to stand up for individual liberty. He was unafraid of being singled out and attacked. And I want to talk about an op-ed piece that he had almost exactly 8 years ago, January the 7th, 2007. He talked about Obama's black widow. So that's going to be coming up in the show. He was talking about the surveillance state and what was going to happen with the surveillance state. Now, today we had a horrific terrorist attack again, this time again with a truck. This was in Jerusalem. They had a truck driver drive over a group of young soldiers who were engaged in a tourist sightseeing tour. They had just gotten off of the bus and they were run over by this truck, and then he put it in reverse and backed over them until they killed him. And we know what's going to happen with this. Rather than taking precautions that are going to get people, and you can see the video running there in the background as we're talking here, if you're watching this broadcast. Very disturbing video. But of course, what is equally disturbing is to think about the way the government is going to respond to these attacks now that are coming not only with guns, but of course with trucks, with anything that they can get a hold of. What will the government do? Will it do the obvious thing? Will it arrest people or do vetting on people and not bring people in unless they know who they are? If they can't vet these people, then you don't get to come in to the country. Okay? You don't get to come in and live. That's what Donald Trump said. And that was what he was excoriated about, called a xenophobe and so forth. But of course, these same people who are pushing that, they're now saying we've got to do everything we can to escalate a Cold War with the Russians. So whenever we see a problem, we always need to examine that problem. So we're going to take another look today at the people who say that they have now settled this, that the Russians did hack our election. No, they didn't. And we're going to give you some feedback from some technical people who know what they're talking about. It is laughable what the government is selling us and telling us is proof. And when you see them doubling down on this and putting out a phony story that is patently absurd, and they keep repeating it nonstop, you know that they've got a long-term plan in mind. Think about 9/11. We've got more evidence that our government, elements of our government, were involved in 9/11 than we do for this Russian hack. And we know what happened with that. We got the Patriot Act. We got the militarized police state. We got the escalated unconstitutional actions of the NSA that William Binney and others warned us about, that Nat Hentoff warned us about as Barack Obama was about to become president. So what are they bringing to us now? Well, Alex Jones reported on that this weekend. He said, look, they're going to use this phony narrative about the Russians. It's not just about discrediting Donald Trump. Yes, that's a wonderful thing that they can do from their standpoint. They can use this as an effort to discredit Donald Trump. But the key thing that they're interested in doing is insinuating themselves into our electoral control. They're not saying that anybody hacked any machines. They're not saying that. But that's what the public is hearing when they talk about hacking. And I'm telling you, most of the public doesn't pay attention to the details. They only hear the headline. And they hear that headline repeated over and over and over again. That is the propaganda tool that makes it become true. That fixes it in their mind. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to give you an update on the Fort Lauderdale shooting and the gun control bills that were introduced. One to ban gun control, but another one would have allowed people to protect themselves. You think that's going to be dead on arrival now because of the shooting? And we'll talk about the background of that shooter. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones.
to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host on this Sunday, January the 8th, 2017. Alex Jones will be joining us live in the second hour. Before we get to Alex, I want to talk about, of course, this terrorist attack that happened in Jerusalem. Another truck attack. This is becoming very regular. What will the government do in response to this? Well, we've already seen what they're preparing to do. They're preparing to a kill switch for vehicles. We know that the government wants to control our transportation, and this is going to give them an excuse to start doing that sooner rather than later. Every time we see these types of attacks, we see the government moving in an effort to increase their control over us, moving in a direction to make us more dependent, more helpless on them, and to empower them over us. Every time we see something like this, whether it's real or whether it is set up, that is going to be the response. They're going to take freedom away from us. They're going to take things out of our hands. If we look at this shooting that happened in Fort Lauderdale, I want to remind you that there was a bill. And not right away when I put this out and we said, hey, this is looking kind of strange. This is a guy who walked into an FBI office, said that he was being forced to watch ISIS videos. He's being forced by the CIA to go fight for ISIS. Walked into the FBI office and said that in Anchorage, Alaska. And then less than 2 months later, he's in Orlando. He checks in with no baggage except for his checked gun and flies to Orlando and starts shooting people. Now, at the same time, we had people in Florida that were moving and looked like they were going to get this passed, moving to take away the banning of guns in certain areas, essentially making people defenseless. And I want to read you what was said about this Monday of the week that this happened on Friday. The Tallahassee Democrats said on January the 3rd, they said gun advocates in Florida didn't take a break over the holiday weekend. Florida Open Carry began rallying its troops with a mass email in support of the most important pro-Second Amendment rights bill of the 2017 legislative session, they said. And this was a bill that would repeal forbidding guns on college campuses, forbidding guns in airport terminals, forbidding guns at government meetings. And it was introduced by Senator Greg Stoube, I think is the way you pronounce his name. I'm not sure. It's S-T-E-U-B-E. Now, they said that in the past, campus carry and open carry measures had died in the committee for the past 2 years because they were never even scheduled for a vote. However, they believed that this year would be different because the guy who introduced the bill was now the chair of the committee. So he was going to get that up for a vote. And this is what he had to say. The senator who introduced this was spot on. And these words were prophetic. This was said less than 5 days before the attack in Fort Lauderdale. He said, if you want to kill as many people as possible before the cops arrive, then you're likely to go to a place where law-abiding citizens cannot carry. That's what we've seen time and time again. That's why I think we shouldn't have them. We should not have government disarmament zones or killing zones, as we have called them over and over again. So that was in the works. And interestingly enough, this guy didn't do a shooting in Alaska. Instead, he flew to Florida to do that, where that bill was pending. Don't you find it interesting that even in a situation where there's as many police and TSA agents and law enforcement agents as you can find anywhere in the airport, the airport next to a prison represents what the government has as the ultimate ideal to keep us safe, isn't it? Police and government agents everywhere, nobody carrying a firearm. That's what they think will make us safe, isn't it? No, it's not going to make us safe, and we've just seen that time and again. And even in that kind of an environment, it took between 1 and 2 minutes for the police to respond to this guy. In that amount of time, he was able to shoot, reload, shoot. And then they got there. 3 magazines full of bullets in a crowded area. And so when we look at this, yes, real people died. Real people died because of their laws, because nobody is allowed to protect themselves. We've had Sheriff Clark from Milwaukee talk about the fact, hey, look, I can't protect, we'll do what we can to catch the bad guys. We'll do what we can to stop it as soon as possible. But we can't be everywhere. We can't be everywhere. See, even in prison, people die of drug overdoses because the drug war doesn't work. Even in prison, people are killed by inmates, even in prison, before the police can get there. You know that, don't you? So if you think that you're going to be safe, if you think you can trade your liberty for security and get safety, you're wrong. You're just going to make yourself a slave. You're not going to make yourself safe. You're not going to be secure. To the extent that you give up your liberty, you are a slave. Slaves are never secure. Slaves are never safe. And people who give up their freedom to become slaves are idiots. And these are the idiots that are now pushing this forward. And of course, we also had a gun control bill that was also introduced that week in Florida to ban guns. As usual, we had a Democrat introducing that. So I think that's interesting to look at that. It's also interesting to look at the information that is coming out now. We've had Got News go in and take a look at the man's background, and they looked at email overlaps, they look at the public records information, and they show that he was posting and he had set up an account on MySpace as Ashiq Hamad. He recorded Islamic music. He did a lot of Muslim issues there. Very interesting. Was this a false flag from ISIS? Was this a false flag from the American government in order to get legislation through? When he went into the FBI office, they put him into, they committed him into a hospital. What happened to him in the hospital? How long was he held? We don't know that yet. There's an article from the Sun Sentinel saying, hey, we need some more answers from the FBI. Yeah, we do. We do. We need more answers from them on a lot of different things, okay? But it's very interesting. He was put into this, but he was not held for very long because that was less than 2 months ago when all of this happened. I'm sure they gave him, if they really thought that he was insane, I'm sure they gave him some SSRIs. Those are usually a factor in a shooting. Almost always we see that these murder-suicide pills, as we've called them for a long time, are a factor in these shootings. That still doesn't mean that they weren't somebody's puppet, that somebody didn't put them up to this, somebody didn't make that an issue there. But I think it's also interesting that even though he walked into an FBI office, he was not put on a no-fly list. Think about all the innocent people who've been put on a no-fly list. When I started here at InfoWars back in mid-October of 2012, one of the first stories that I covered was a guy, his name was Wade Hicks, and he was going to see his wife in Japan. He was flying on a military transport. He'd been thoroughly vetted. He had been vetted, as a matter of fact, by the TSA recently. They'd given him a special badge, a worker's pass to get into because of the work that he did. He'd also been vetted by multiple law enforcement agencies because he owned firearms. He had had background checks. He had done other things that caused him to get a higher level of permits and that sort of thing, privilege licenses from the FBI. So being thoroughly vetted, he gets on a plane from California, flies to Hawaii, changes planes. This is a military flight because he's family of somebody who's in the service. As he gets on the second plane and they're about to take off, all of a sudden agents come on the plane and drag him off and say, you're on a no-fly list. Well, how did he get from California to Hawaii? He was on a no-fly list, but he still got there. They pulled him off, and guess what? You can't fly from Hawaii. What are you going to do? Take a slow freighter somewhere? The guy was stuck, and so he started reaching out to people. And eventually, they got a hold of us. And we talked about it. We interviewed him when he eventually got back to the United States. But he could never get an answer as to why he had been singled out. He could never get an answer as to why he was on the no-fly list. And even though they eventually said they let him fly, they wouldn't tell him that he was off of the list. And so that's why the Constitution, folks, is so important. This isn't something new. The tools of tyranny are new, but the principles of tyranny are age old. The founders of this country understood the principles of tyranny. That's why they created the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and said, we know what you guys have done in the past with your star chambers, the things like that. We're not going to let you do that again. You're going to give people due process. You're going to tell them publicly what they were charged with. You're going to allow them to confront the witnesses against them in court. And so when you take that away, you have situations like Wade Hicks getting stranded in Hawaii, and he hadn't done anything, but he still doesn't know if his name is clear. And yet you got this guy was allowed to not only fly, but to fly with nothing but a gun. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. Alex is going to be joining us in the next hour. He's going to be talking about how Donald Trump is going to hit the ground running. Look, I have never in my lifetime seen the kind of activity on both sides prior to the inauguration. Usually it's kind of a rest period. It's a honeymoon period. And they usually give the president-elect a pass on things. But they have been after him, as you well know, in every respect. And Donald Trump has not been sitting by idly either. They've made it very clear. Both Trump and Pence and the Republicans are going to hit the ground running. And they've got a lot of legislation that's going to be introduced right away. They've been preparing the groundwork for this. We're going to take a look at the strategies that they're coming up with Obamacare. What may possibly happen with Obamacare? Is it going to be repealed? Hopefully, yes. Everybody is saying that they're going to work to repeal it. The question is, are they going to replace it? If so, with what? And when will they do it? Will they wait a long time before they replace it? I hope they replace it with the kind of market reforms that were on Donald Trump's website when he was running. It was a very detailed program that he and his staff put together there. Usually, candidates don't come up with that kind of detail. They like to stick to broad generalities. And you saw that with the rest of the Republican field as well as with the Democrats. They just talk about broad principles, mom and apple pie, that sort of thing. But he was very specific in what he was going to do with health care. And he was going to replace the mandates of Obamacare with free market reforms, things that would empower us, things that would give us the economic freedom as well as the information and the competition to make efficient decisions. That's what's needed. You have to understand that when they're talking about this and they say, well, we're kind of the GOP, many of them are starting to get cold feet and saying, I don't know if we can do this. We've got a lot of taxes that are involved in this. You know, Obama created 17,000 new IRS agents to prosecute you, persecute you, harass you, to harass our people, to eat out their substance. We can't just pull a Thomas Jefferson and get rid of that, can we? That's the Republicans saying that. The Republicans, people like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and Lee, who have in the past said, we're not going to give you the capability to increase the debt. And of course, the debt is the accumulated annual deficits that are going through. And now under Obama, it has skyrocketed. We're at nearly $20 trillion in terms of the accumulated annual deficits, the debt. And now they're talking about increasing it by another $9 trillion. That's a 50% increase, folks. And yeah, maybe out by 10 years. And of course, they're saying, oh, look, this isn't for real. You know, Ted Cruz is out there saying, this is just a head fake. This is something we're doing. It's a procedural ploy to make sure that we can run this through with only 51 votes instead of the required 60 votes. It's going to free up our hand to get rid of this stuff. Well, that may be. But you know, I've seen, especially Ted Cruz, change his position on things too many times to really trust it. Rand Paul said, hey, you're calling it a budget. It's a budget. You're calling it a budget and saying we need to vote on this budget to increase the deficit in one fell swoop by 50% when it's at $20 trillion right now, the debt. It's absolutely stunning that they would do something like this. But we'll talk about that more later. I want to get to what people are talking about in terms of this phony Russian hack attack. And we've got a report I want to play from John McAfee. I want to give you some of the articles that people are pushing back, some of the tweets that people are pushing back against this phony story, and talk about why they keep pushing this no matter how ridiculous it is. I'm telling you, just as Alex Jones said earlier, they have something up their sleeve that is far bigger even than discrediting Donald Trump. They want to get themselves into the voting booth. They want to insinuate themselves into the voting machines. And the only way you can stop that, because see, that's the real problem. Instead of addressing the initial problem, the government will always create a second problem. They will create a crisis, in other words, and then they will use that crisis to take more power, more control over things. And what they're trying to do is to use this meme that they've now created in the public mind by saying Russian hacking, Russian hacking. When all along, they never even said the Russians touched the machines. They never even insinuated that except in their headlines. When they say Russian hacking, that's what everybody is thinking. They're not thinking, oh, He's saying that somebody in the Russian intelligence services released Hillary Clinton's emails and we could see what a scumbag she was, so nobody wanted to vote for her. That's what they're really saying. And that's not even true. Yes, Hillary is a scumbag, but it wasn't Russian state services that had to do it. So we're going to break that down with John McAfee. But before we leave the situation of the shooting in Fort Lauderdale, I think it's very important. You know, we had just seen Florida introduce a bill so that people could protect themselves. And so you're not going to create victim disarmament zones like airports, like college campuses, where somebody can go there and all they have to do is carry a gun, ignore your prohibitions. One person carries a gun, and then the rest of the people are helpless victims. And it's going to take a while for the police to get there. And with that in mind, the Florida legislature had introduced a bill to be considered to allow people to protect themselves at airports. And then we have this shooting. And that's probably going to be taken off the table now. We should double down as well. We should double down and point out that that's precisely what the remedy to that would be. There's another remedy if you don't want to carry. Or if they don't allow you to carry, you can still protect yourself. We were talking about this on Friday. We just came out with a product, Tactical Nanotechnology Body Armor. This is carbon nanotube technology. State of the art. Very lightweight. Very strong. Very tough. This is a patented form of carbon nanotube technology, the lightest, strongest, most flexible body armor that is on the market. It's only a quarter of an inch thick, but it is field-tested and confirmed to stop the most powerful pistol rounds in production. It's waterproof, it's super lightweight, it's made in the U.S., it comes with a 20-year warranty, and you can buy it and support our operation at the same time you protect yourself. You can find it at InfoWarsStore.com. We have an entire line of tactical nanotechnology body armor. And one of the things that we sell, besides vests, is an insert that you can put into backpacks. And one of the stories that came out of this Fort Lauderdale shooting was a guy who, when he heard the shots, realized what was going on, he hit the ground. And he had on a backpack, and he had his laptop in his backpack. And one of the bullets was shot at him and hit the edge of that laptop. And you can see the pictures of it where it is turned up. Now, I don't know if a laptop would stop the bullet if it hit it perpendicular to the laptop. This hit it on the edge and stopped the bullet. Of course, we did have a guy who was at another recent Muslim shooting, and he was spared in Istanbul by his iPhone. So, yeah, you can stop it with that, but that's a very small area. Wouldn't it be better if you consciously knew that you had something that really could stop a bullet? Not maybe, but really would stop a bullet, and you could use that to shield yourself, to shield your family. That right there, that insert you see, that is something that I think is a very powerful way to protect yourself, to protect your kids. You put that in their backpack and say, look, Johnny, somebody starts shooting at something. Now you've got something to at least hide behind or run with your back covered with this as you're running, because that's what they're going to shoot for. They're going to shoot for your center mass. They're going to shoot for your back. So if you got that on your backpack, that's one of the best things that you could do. All right, now I want to get to some of the things that have been said in the continuing propaganda war. And we're going to talk about that as well as John McAfee's report, where he absolutely destroys this phony idea. But he is not the only one who's out there. We've got a lot of tech people who have spoken out on the absurd narrative, but they're doing it because they've got something big in mind, something even bigger than discrediting Trump. They want to control our election. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We're going to take a look at John McAfee. And of course, he's the guy that we've been in the InfoWars studio many times. He created McAfee Security Systems, and then sold that and retired, and he's had a lot of adventures since then in Belize, as well as running for president on the Libertarian Party ticket. He did not get the nomination, unfortunately, but he came out and spoke as a computer expert, and many computer experts are talking about this phony redacted report that's been put out. And of course, isn't it interesting that this report was released to NBC, the Washington Post, and others before Donald Trump got a chance to take a look at it? You know that they're trying to create a political narrative here. And you know that they continue to repeat this because they want to establish in the public's mind that somehow Russia got a hold of our election and rigged it. They don't want to say, hey, Russia told the truth about Hillary and people were so disgusted with her that they refused to vote for her. Now, they don't want to talk about that. Instead, they want to insinuate that they've hacked our election. So I think Donald Trump should take this and should double down to this. Remember, he came out and said over the Christmas holidays, he was talking to some journalists and he said, no computer is safe. Here's what he said. He said, you know, if you have something really important, write it down on a piece of paper and have it delivered by courier. The old-fashioned way. That's what Donald Trump told reporters. He was exactly right. He said, no computer is safe. And so if we've got something that is as important as the election, let's not get DHS involved in our computers. We've seen already that they tried to insinuate themselves into multiple state election systems, and they got the people who are running those systems very angry because it's our own government, of course, hacking them. It's the American government that funds most of the vulnerabilities. It's the American government that does more hacking than anybody else. It's the American government that overthrows regimes more than anybody else. And so if we don't want the federal government or dishonest actors inside the federal government rigging our elections, let's not give them the tools to do it. Computerized voting machines. Let's do what Donald Trump said. Let's write it down. Let's have people, let's have human eyes on it every step of the way, counting these paper ballots. Human eyes watching as those paper ballots change custody in different places until the final results are reported. That's what we need. Paper ballots with human inspectors watching what's going on. Nothing other than that will be safe. And if we allow this to continue down the road of more computerization, we will have our election hacked. And it may most likely will not be by a foreign government. It'll be by actors within our own government. But let's take a look at this phony report and the phony conclusions that are being drawn by people. First of all, this guy, Michael Morell, the ex-CIA director. And this is the guy that replaced David Petraeus when David Petraeus violated national security secrets. But that didn't cause Michael Morell to get upset about Hillary Clinton violating national security secrets. No, he was a confirmed never-Trumper, and he endorsed Hillary Clinton. And now that never-Trumper Hillary Clinton fan who had no problems with Hillary Clinton's violation of national security said Trump's comments will lead to a wave of resignations from the intelligence services. Well, really? You don't think that maybe Hillary Clinton's callous disregard for national security, putting out top secret and above top secret emails, you don't think that that had an effect on morale? How about the double standard for her? How about the fact that Hillary Clinton could violate national security secrets, but all these other people who are in the intelligence agencies and the military, they know they would go to jail for multiple life terms if they had done anything even approaching what Hillary Clinton had done. What about Benghazi? Mr. Morell, do you think that Benghazi demoralized the intelligence and military services? I think so. And you know, when we look at this report, there's absolutely nothing there. Maybe they redacted all of the juicy stuff, but I don't think so. Maybe, hey, here's an idea. Maybe we could get the unredacted report on ClintonEmail.com. Maybe Hillary's got it on her server. If that thing is still operating, maybe we could get a glimpse into what was really there because, you know, all the state secrets were right there advertised for people with a big pointer. Clinton emails, get them here, right here. They're hot. They're hot. It's not too hard to get in. Here's all the Clinton emails. I'm Secretary of State. All this classified stuff we're talking about, you can get it right here. So if you're a hacker or you're another state that has the doesn't have the best interest of the United States at hand, you can just go to get that information at ClintonEmail.com. Let's play this report from John McAfee, and then we'll go back and look at what some of the other people are saying about this phony narrative.
I'm going to be very frank with you and the American public. I think that today, the most deceptive propaganda to date was perpetrated on the American public. The data that was presented, the evidence was culled from a thing called the Grizzly Step Report, put together jointly by Homeland Security and the FBI. In there are four facts which they claim prove that Russia did this hack. It was utter nonsense. The information was, number one, Russian language was found in the malware. Number two, a Cyrillic keyboard was used. By the way, the forensic science can now tell what type of keyboard was used to develop a piece of malware. Number three, The compiler, that is one of the piece of software that compiles the code so that it can execute, always dates and timestamps. It said that the timestamps were in a time zone for the business hours of Moscow and St. Petersburg and other places in Russia. And then number four, that the IP address pointed to a Russian address. Now, let me go through this and try to make it very simple for the American people. If the CIA wanted to hack Russia, the things you would not do is you would not include the English language in your software, because that would then exclude everybody except English-speaking nations. You would certainly not use a keyboard that everybody knows that the CIA uses, whatever keyboard they use. You'd have them use a Chinese keyboard or something else. You would certainly remove the date and time stamp from the program so that you couldn't tell what business hours or what zone you were in when it was compiled. And number four, you would absolutely not have an IP address that points to you. Because, seriously, if Russia declared war on us because we hacked Russia, and the head of the CIA or the intelligence committee came to Congress and they said, well, what happened? Oh, well, you know, we didn't have time to remove the English language. We didn't have time to remove the date stamp. We didn't have time. The guy couldn't use the Chinese keyboard, so we gave him our regular keyboard. And, you know, it was my wife's birthday, so I could not remove the IP address. Please. Yeah. That person would be scheduled for suicide. So this is what
John,
they are asking
does,
us. Yes.
Does Donald Trump have enough room to challenge this? I mean, the way you present it tonight, this doesn't sound credible. It doesn't sound conclusive. It sounds rather flimsy the way you've presented it.
Well, it's not just flimsy. It's either this. It's propaganda intended to incite the American people to anger toward Russia for some reason, or our intelligence community is so ignorant and naive that they should all be replaced. And here's the kicker. Here is why it cannot possibly be an organized nation state. Because the hack on the DNC used a piece of malware a year and a half old, and there have been many updates since then. Do you actually believe the Russian intelligence services spend all their time improving their malware, and then when they do an important attack, go, well, I used that thing from a year ago, it only had a few bugs? No! This was done by an independent one-person kid that downloaded the software. And by the way, the software came from two different organizations they're claimed to be two different organizations that are related to the Russian government. That's absolutely false. They're called APT-28 and APT-29, and those designations come from FireEye, people who watch all the hacking groups. In truth, it's only one organization, and it's composed not just of Russians, but of people, kids, yeah, all around the world. You can go on the dark web, download the software, hack somebody, and so this kid had obviously downloaded it a year and a half ago and had not bothered to update.
So that's John McAfee, and he is saying what other people have been telling me. Look, we know who these Russian criminals are. They're not state actors. You don't need to be state actors. This was old malware. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. Alex Jones is going to be joining us in the next hour. This is a fight, folks, and as we said, there is no honeymoon period in this fight. It continues to go on. And before we get back to the news, we just played that report from John McAfee where he broke down the absurd rationale that's being given people. It sounds very technical. Oh, look, it was done on a Cyrillic keyboard. It was done in a time zone that goes to Russia and so forth and so on. And John McAfee said, think about this. If the Russians did that and left all those fingerprints there, they ought to be put in front of a firing squad or fired at least. But he said, you're not ever going to leave fingerprints like that. He says, if you were the U.S. intelligence and you were attacking Russia, you would try to make it look like you were the Chinese. You wouldn't make it so obvious. They know that there's all these things that are left in there. That's not anything that's conclusive. And then he talks about the fact that the malware that was used was very old. It's like a year and a half old, I think he said it was. We got an article on that. We're going to get back into that. But there's something even more interesting in all of this. We're going to tell you about how this is a report. This report that was put out by the intelligence agencies that we're supposed to trust. This report goes back to 2012, folks. We've got some evidence of that. We're going to show that to you in just one moment. Before we do, I want you to think about refueling your body and refueling InfoWars at the same time. You know, this is the time of year that everybody says after the holidays and the unhealthy lifestyle habits that they've been involved in over their vacation, they say, all right, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to start a new diet. I'm going to do something for myself to make myself healthier. Well, one of the things that you can do is make sure your body is getting the proper nutrition, especially if you're going to go on a diet. If you're going to go on a diet, you're going to constrict calories to your body. That's fine as long as your body is getting the proper nutrition. But you need to make sure that you've got the supplemental base there that's going to make sure that your body is getting nutrients that it needs to be healthy. So if you're going to starve yourself, at least make sure that you're just starving yourself of things that are going to make you fat, not the things that your body needs to survive. And so with that in mind, we have created a special Make Our Bodies Great Again initiative for 2017. We put a lot of products at InfoWars Life on sale. We got Brain Force, Super Male Vitality, 30% off both of those, 30% off Survival Shield X2, that's our nascent iodine. We have 20% off Secret 12, that's our B12 formulation in a liquid format. It's very easy to take and to assimilate. We have 20% off Liver Shield, 20% off Knockout if you're having trouble sleeping. And, of course, it's very important for your health that you get a restful night's sleep. So whatever's happening, this is a very safe an effective way to assist your body in getting sleep. Take a look at the natural ingredients that are in Knockout. That's 20% off. And, of course, Prostaguard, 20% off. You'll find many others at InfoWarsLife.com. You need to make sure you've got a base of healthy supplements there, especially if you're going to start restricting the calories that your body gets. There's a lot of stuff your body doesn't need, a lot of empty calories. But usually when people start cutting stuff back, they start cutting back the healthy stuff as well. So make sure you've got that base covered. Now, let's go back to this report, because some of the stuff that they were putting out there was summed up in a tweet by WikiLeaks that I retweeted. The U.S. government's declassified Russian hacking report has the curious disclaimer that it's based on watching TV and reading tweets. It really seriously does. You go to the Hill, and they talk about five reasons the intel community believes Russia interfered in the election, and they go down some of those elements that John McAfee just destroyed. But then there's this jewel in there. The report notes that RT produced English language video, like the Julian Assange special and so forth and so on, okay? They also, folks, referenced Abby Martin's program. Abby Martin's program, Breaking the Set, ended 2 years ago. But according to the report, she tweeted out, she goes, well, here's the official DNI report on Russia. It says, my show, Breaking the Set, that ended 2 years ago, helped to cost Hillary Clinton the election. We have Glenn Greenwald summing it up in his tweet. He said, the new report, number one, literally half of it is about RT. Number two, it contains the same assertions made multiple times. Number three, it includes no evidence for those claims. I think that's a pretty succinct summary there. There's a great article by Jeffrey Jackson talking about how open source intelligence overtook the DNI report in real time. And he's got those tweets in there. You can see that as people are looking at this DNI report, they're calling it out for what it is, total BS. In real time, people are looking at it, technical people just looking at the logic of it. We've got the New York Times saying, and he puts it out this way, and Jeffrey Jackson does, the discredited New York Times produced an article calling the report, quote, a damning and surprisingly detailed account of Russia's efforts to undermine the American electoral system and Mrs. Clinton, unquote. However, just one paragraph later, the New York Times is forced to admit the DNI report contained poor sources and no evidence. They wrote, but the declassified report contains no information about how the agencies had collected their data or had come to their conclusion. Like I said, maybe we've got to go to Hillary Clinton's official email account to get the unredacted report. It's probably there. And then we've had other people say, this is hilarious. Literally anyone can download the supposed Russian hacker malware. Even the Daily Beast points out that there's nothing in the report to back it up. But here's the kicker. And this came from Jim Stone. It's an article by Cassandra Fairbanks. She said, shocker, proof that Russia's Trump support was compiled during Obama's election. And they say that in this report, just like we reported about Abby Martin's show, they blame that for taking it down. You can look at the report and see the references that they have there against RT. And again, RT is the focus of that report because, you know, it was RT that was telling you the truth about Hillary Clinton, along with InfoWars, along with Breitbart, along with the Daily Caller. See, when you were told the truth about Hillary Clinton, whoever put this out there, we do owe them a debt of gratitude, regardless of who it was, because you need to know the truth to make an informed decision when you're voting, don't you? And that's what we got. That's what they're calling hacking. It's not hacking. It is an expose of Hillary Clinton. But they go through this and they talk about how the report notes two RT shows, Breaking the Set and Truth Seeker, focused on criticism of the U.S. The problem is both of these shows were off the air before the 2016 election season began. They point out that a large part of this report, the Annex A of the report, was written 4 years ago. This is old information that they put in their report to say, this is the smoking gun we have that Russia hacked our election. And again, they're using that term, hack, because they want to insinuate themselves into the electronic voting machines. And yet, we got Lindsey Graham saying that Republicans who are happy about Russian meddling, is what how he calls it, Republicans who are happy about what happened are political hacks. See, we're happy, Lindsey, that the truth got out. And when you want to talk about hacks, and we look at this article, there he is with John McCain. If you look up hack the noun, you'll probably see them in the political subsection. You'll probably see the pictures of John McCain and Lindsey Graham right there in your dictionary as examples of political hacks, nouns, okay? Because hacks are typically writers or journalists who do boilerplate stuff that's been done by everybody else. They kind of plagiarize it. They take themes that have been done by other people and they paste them together. Well, that's what Lindsey Graham and John McCain do. They do it for the CIA. They do it for the globalists. They do it for the multinationals. They do it for the military-industrial complex. They're the useful hacks. These are the two political hacks that sell you war, that sell you the surveillance state. And there they all are, all smiles with the guy that cut out Kellyanne Conway. Cut her out. She went for a 10-minute interview. Donald Trump tweeted about that. She had a 10-minute interview with him and with Todd, and he only put up 1 minute of it. But boy, he had a love fest, I'm sure, with Lindsey Graham and John McCain. Meanwhile, we've got a Russian official saying it was Obama who undermined U.S. democracy, not Moscow. See, that's what we have to understand. They're the ones who really have the motivation to undermine American democracy. That's what we saw in the DNC emails, didn't we? We saw the Democrat establishment undermining the election within their own party. And then we saw the corruption of Hillary Clinton and Podesta in these emails. He said, this is what the Russian ambassador said, and it's absolutely true. The danger to democracy is within the U.S. itself. See, that's truly where the danger is. We have to understand that is the real issue before us. The phony hacking stories are not really the danger. And with that in mind, I want to talk briefly about Nat Hentoff, who died at 91. He's a real liberal, somebody who was principled and would say what needed to be said, even if it offended a political party that he would be suspected to be aligned with. This is an article that he wrote 8 years ago, January 7th, 2009. And we'll talk about this. We're out of time. Doggone it, I want to get to that. But Alex Jones is going to be joining us in the next hour. If I'm not sure what time he's coming in, stay with us right after the break. If Alex isn't with us, I'm going to talk about this, or I'll talk about it when he comes back. But he's going to give us a live update on his perspective of what the globalists are pulling now and how Trump is onto them. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Dr. Group, you developed Living Defense for us. It took you over a year to do it. Why is this so good?
Because people are actually waking up to the problem that pretty much scares me the most. I mean, I try to make sure that I don't put toxins from food and water and beverages in my system. But right now, we're dealing with massive parasites, which is anything that's harmful to your body that lives off a host mechanism. Right now, with all the refugees spreading disease around, we have biological warfare going on everywhere. These are all parasites.
Tell us about all the stuff that said that there's so many things that are in it.
You have the neem in there. You have the organic clove bud, the organic wormwood. I recommend doing a parasite cleanse at least twice a year.
All right. Well, I'm glad we've got some back in because I'm going back on it today. It just came back in yesterday. Living Defense, InfoWarsLife.com. And folks, you can't lose. It's full of stuff that's great for your body, period. And you support the broadcast, InfoWarsLife.com. Thank you, Dr. Group from the Global Healing Center. Thank you so much for all your work, sir, on this great product.
Fear is the passion of slaves, and this man knows no fear. He is Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. Alex is going to be joining us in this hour to talk about the fight that we now are in the middle of. Folks, it didn't end with the election. As you saw, it only stepped up. And this is a fight we can win. This is a fight that the other side has never had to document what they are saying. And now we can point at them and we can say the emperor has no clothes, the establishment press has no clothes. We're used to documenting what we're telling people because we know that there is a confirmation bias on the part of the public to believe what they're told on these news outlets that have been around for a long time. They've become prestigious because for a very long time, the major networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, even NPR, they were all saying the same thing, weren't they? They were saying exactly what the government was saying. And no matter how absurd it was, they could look at you, look right into that camera and say, that's the way it is. They would say that and people would believe that was the way that it was. And it wasn't. They were very selective about what they were reporting. They were telling you lies some of the time. Not all of the time. It's important. When you're telling people lies and you're deceiving them, as we saw, if you go back and look at the CIA documents, Operation Mockingbird, you saw how the upper echelons and the anchors of various news media were co-opted by the CIA to get out the stories that they wanted to get out. So it's very important when you're doing that, when you're lying to people, when you've got a propaganda organization, that you do tell people the truth from time to time. So yeah, they did tell the truth from time to time. There you go, Operation Mockingbird. That's something very important to understand, especially in this context. Because we are now, as I pointed out in one of the videos we did a couple of weeks ago, I said, this is Operation Mockingbird Part Due. This is on steroids now, folks. We now have the State Department having been given, and of course it was Republicans who were supporting this even more so, I think, than the Democrats. They gave $160 million, that's 80 each year for 2 years, to the State Department to propagandize Americans. They're going to tell you what's real and what isn't. Do you really think that you can trust these people? Do you need somebody to think for you? No, you don't. You don't need somebody to think. You need a source that will give you a point of view. They'll tell you the facts, tell you what they think about it, and they will footnote it. That's what we do here at InfoWars. Now, Obama is saying that he doesn't think that he misunderstimated Putin. No, he didn't say that. That was George W. Bush. I've said that so many times that I can hardly say the word underestimated without saying misunderestimated. Now, he said he did not underestimate Putin. Well, I think he did. I think he did. I think you know what he really underestimated was the intelligence of the American public. I think he really underestimated the power of the still independent press and of social media. And I think Jeffrey Jackson had it right on target when he called that open source intelligence. The founders called it committees of correspondence. They would write stuff and they would send it around to each other by paper. As Donald Trump said, you can't trust a computer. If you got something important, write it down on paper and send it by a courier. You know, that's starting to get... That's true as well. Although he uses Twitter and electronic media very powerfully, you have to know when to use one and when to use the other. But Obama is saying that he doesn't think that he underestimated Putin. He says, I think that I underestimated the degree to which in this new information age, it's possible to have an impact on our open societies, on our open systems. Now, I left out a little bit there. He said, where it's possible for misinformation, for cyber hacking and so forth, to have an impact on our open societies, on our open systems. But see, what he really doesn't like is an open society. What he really doesn't like is an open system. And I want to go back 8 years ago to an op-ed piece. It was written by Nat Hithoff, who just died. This was January the 7th, 2009. At that point in time, Obama was president-elect. And the title of this article that he put in the Village Voice was Obama's Black Widow. He said, Barack Obama will be in charge of the biggest domestic and international spying operation in history. Its prime engine is the NSA, located in Fort Meade. The Baltimore Sun's national security correspondent said the colossal Cray computer, the supercomputer they have there, was codenamed Black Widow. And he said, how will President Barack Obama use it? Oh, boy. Did he ever use it? Did he ever use the 1917 Espionage Act? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is our land. These are our people. The workers, the strivers, the builders. These are our people. Who are they? They are the dark armies. The dark murdering armies whose only honor is atrocity.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, January 8th, 2017. We're 11 days out from President Trump, and he is going to hit the ground running. He has put together an entire slate of action. Alex Jones is going to be joining us sometime this hour, and he's going to break that down further. Everyone has geared up for the fight in a way that I've never seen before. But I was talking about, just before we went to break, I started to look at this article that came out 8 years ago. And this is from Nat Hithoff, and this is when President Obama was president-elect. It was this time 8 years ago, just before he was sworn in. And he called it Obama's Black Widow, and he was talking about the massive Cray supercomputer that was housed at the NSA in Maryland, talking about how it could do all these calculations, and what would Barack Obama do with this? And he pointed out a little bit of the history of this, and it's important for us to see where this came from. Remember now, the FISA Act, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that was put in place as a result of the hearings that we had in the 1970s with Frank Church and Congressman Pike. Both the Senate and the House had hearings on how the CIA and the NSA were violating their legal briefs, what they were created to do. They were created to go after foreign governments, and instead they were going after American citizens. They were spying on Americans. How about that? Back in the 1970s, that was what started the Church and the Pike hearings. And what came out of those was the FISA Act, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, saying you're only going to do your surveillance on foreign individuals. That's why they're talking about a foreign tampering of our election. And so we're going to have Alex Jones. I was just giving a note. Alex Jones is going to be coming in about 5 minutes. So stay with us. I'm going to try to break this down in 5 minutes, what Nat Hithoff was telling us about Barack Obama 8 years ago. Now, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was put in place, but in July of 2008, as Bush was getting ready to leave, what they did was they amended it, and they made it far more powerful, and they took away some of the things that had been there to control the CIA and the NSA. He said that the new Bush law provided a farcical judicial supervision over the NSA, and boy, is that the truth. It is absolute. Maybe we should call it, instead of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the Farcical Intelligence Surveillance Act. They can go in and get a search warrant for Mr. and Mrs. Verizon, as Rand Paul said. They can say, I want to look at everybody that is on Verizon. And they go in to a single judge, and there is no adversary there on behalf of the people. Because, you know, you would, if you were actually going after an individual, like the Constitution said, that you go to get a search warrant, you say, this is what I'm looking for, this is who I'm looking at, and this is where I'm going to look for it. and you could have somebody that was representing Mr. and Mrs. Verizon, but this whole thing has become a farcical situation. And that was a change that was put in by George W. Bush. Now, at this time, Nat Hinhoff said, why did Obama vote for this eye that never blinks? He had previously vowed to filibuster such a bill, but he said back in July, before he was elected president in November, he voted for that bill. And that was a clue, a tip-off of what was to come from Barack Obama, but he didn't know that at that time. Nat Hinhoff, 8 years ago, smelled a rat. And now it really stinks, doesn't it? After 8 years of Barack Obama, the left should be hopping mad about the fact, and some of them are, some journalists are, that Barack Obama used the 1917 Espionage Act more than all other presidents combined to go after journalists and whistleblowers. But he goes on at this time. He says, well, I think this is kind of suspicious. He said the FISA amendment also gave immunity to telecommunications corporations. Now, what have we seen in the wake of this? We've seen the government push throughout the Obama years over and over again. CISA, ACTA, PIPA, and then finally they got it passed with CISA. And that was a way to give immunity to all the people that are collecting information on you so that they would turn it over to the government and you can't sue them for it. See, that's ultimately where they want to go. And you have to understand that the recording of conversations, the recording of your actual email is not nearly as important to them as the metadata. And so you'll see these people saying, it's just metadata, it's not important. That is the key thing they're after because that is what they can analyze algorithmically. He saw that coming 8 years ago and called him out on it. So let's go right now. We've got Alex Jones has joined us. He's on the line. He's traveling. Alex.
David, listening to you. Break down all these incredible big news stories we've got. I'm only going to be here for a few segments, but I do have just some really important information for everybody. I'm coming across clear to you. Everything coming across clear
yes,
for you.
Yes,
David.
It broke up just a moment, but you're clear now. Go ahead. Can you hear me?
Okay, well, I'm going to just let you go ahead and broadcast until the start of the next segment, then I'm going to be able to reconfigure some systems here and reconnect with you because this is some important information. I'll be back after the break. Thank you.
All right, we're going to reconnect with Alex. As I pointed out, he is not in studio today. He is traveling, so we're going to reconnect with Alex. One of the things that you have to understand, as I was saying, the metadata is really what they're after. They can't algorithmically go after your phone calls or your emails as easily as they can the metadata, which tells them essentially what you're doing, where you are, mapping that. That's called geospatial intelligence. That is the fastest growing division of intelligence. And when we look at these massive denial of service attacks that have happened here at InfoWars, and then now Matt Drudge has had that happen at least twice. The first time it happened, it took him down for 90 minutes. And then it happened a few days after that again. When we look at that, the place where that is coming from is your refrigerators and your medical devices and all these things that are called the Internet of Things. We had a story over the holidays from CNBC. Experts warned that 2017 will be the year of smart home hacking. Now, why would they want to get in and look at your thermostat? Do they really care what your temperature is? Well, there are other things that they can derive from that. But more importantly, hackers, and I'm including in this people like the NSA and the CIA, they can get into these machines and they can put viruses in them and they can turn them into spam robots that do requests for services so rapidly targeted at a particular website that they can shut people down from being able to get into that website. That's what the distributed denial of service attacks are about. And so that is the real key. As we see these devices come online, even the medical devices that are coming online, most of them rely on a protocol that's coming out of China. Out of China. Now, what could happen with that? What could possibly go wrong with putting that on your medical devices and making that a key part of the infrastructure? But it's not just medical devices. It's also your refrigerators, your washing machines. Remember several years ago when David Petraeus was still director of the CIA before he was caught violating national security? He said that they were going to be using your refrigerator to spy on you. Yes, they are. And see, the key thing is for them to get that geospatial intelligence, the activity-based intelligence. They want to look at your activities. They want to look at the entire human domain. Remember when we talked about Jade Helm? Mastering the human domain was the subtext of that. They wanted to see, really, what you're doing and map out who their enemies are, who their friends are. That is the key thing that we see developing. And as we go ahead with this, as we see the types of things like now we've got massive snowstorms all throughout the East Coast especially, but really pretty much throughout the entire country. As Drudge Report pointed out, the average temperature is 11 degrees across the United States. But of course, the response to it in Virginia was an algorithm that would raise the toll price there up to $30 to $45 for a half-hour ride. See, that is the key. They're going to go in and they're going to use the roads as an information highway. They're going to collect even more information on you. They're going to have even more power if they want to take down individual sites. That is the true threat. As Donald Trump said, no computer is safe. That ought to be a warning sign for all of us. Stay with us. Alex Jones will be right back.
Aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Bad luck wind been blowing at my back. I was born to bring trouble to wherever I'm at.
Well, we're only about, 11 days or so until President Trump 13, is the 45th President of the United States. David Knight is hosting there in Living Color HD in the radio TV studios in Austin, Texas. I'm on the road, and my Skype's having hiccups, so I'm joining you via telephone, good old-fashioned landline right now. I'm just going to be here for a couple more segments, and then David will finish up, obviously, the transmission with some other clips and news stories. I know he's got stacked up. But I want to just preface what I'm about to tell you with this statement. I've studied a lot of history, and one of the most common things I read when I'm looking at contemporary history or history going back over the last few hundred years or even the last few thousand years is populations, individuals, peoples don't realize they're living in incredibly historical times. People don't realize they're living in crossroads times or turning times or quickening times. They don't realize they're living in those times where just a few years dictate the next 100 years or even the next 1,000 years or maybe even the entire destiny of a species. Because clearly with nuclear weapons and technology and the advancements and acceleration of time, all the old quickenings we saw are going to be more intense like birth pains. So that said, before I went on, I was just thinking of how do you highlight to people that in amongst all the incredibly important news that we all cover here, from genetically engineered, you know, humanoids that they're admittedly creating, to pharmacological crops, to babies with five parents, to flesh-eating bacteria spreading across the United States, and just leprosy spreading all across the United States. I mean, just... we are living in insane times. Also, insanely good things are happening all over the world. Humanity is waking up to globalism. But what I'm going to announce here to you today is just a summation of what I've been working on the last few weeks. The reason InfoWars is so popular, not just with the public, but with the military, intelligence agencies, and foreign leaders, is we really do know what we're talking about. And we're one of the only outlets that's not controlled. But there's also not so much a feedback loop, but an intensification or a amplification of how accurate we are now that we're so trusted and now that patriots are making moves worldwide against tyrannical states, namely the globalists, the world government state, that now we're given information nobody else is. And I want to explain to everybody that listeners have already seen the incredible stories we break. They've already seen the exclusives we get. They already know the people we talk to. And I'm just going to stop right there. Just today, I talked to folks as high as it goes. I'm going to leave it at that. And let me just assure you, from top generals and other patriots, they say we are absolutely bullseye, dead on target, destroying the globalist. And they said, tell your audience, keep it up. you literally are all we've got. Now, that's quite a bit. But I don't care what color you are, where you came from. If you're aware of the New World Order, you've got that love of liberty beating in your heart. You are the people the globalists and George Soros are scared of. Now, I've had it confirmed to me from multiple sources in just the last 2 days, including today, that indeed, what our other sources have broken down is accurate. The globalists are thinking of a way to try to keep Trump from getting in 11 days. They are seriously trying it. You've already seen them do all the stuff they did during the campaign. I'm not going to mention that again. You already saw all the going after the electors, the recounts, the trying to stop the nomination, all of it. They are only intensifying now, and that's why yesterday in a letter, that's how it was announced to the public, Jay Johnson of DHS federalized all of the elections, a total power grab outside of Congress, violates the Constitution, and says that his rogue agency with Loretta Lynch and all the rest of them as part of it are in control of our elections. Now, they would only do that knowing Trump's going to reverse it if they were seriously considering trying to overthrow Trump and having new elections. Then they would already be in place to take control of the states that voted for Trump and steal those states, just like they got caught in West Virginia, Georgia, and four other states, red-handed, breaking into the systems. They said, oh, we were just checking them lovingly. No, those are states that Trump was really ahead in the polls. They had fake polls out. They were supposed to go to Hillary. The state officials were able to stop it because they knew what they were looking for, because Trump and you and I and Drudge, everybody else who's awake, warned everybody and made election fraud an issue. Remember? They said there was no such thing as election fraud months before the election when I raised it, Trump raised it, Obama came out and attacked me, Hillary attacked me by name. They said, he's insane. Then they turned around and federalized it. Why did I say they were going to federalize it? Because they were already doing it. And I have to be careful how much I tell people, okay? Because we don't want to give away sources. But at this point, if Trump gets in 11 days, he's going to go right to work, folks, 20 hours a day, nonstop. And I'm going to give you the good news and the bad news right now. This country is in an absolute sudden death overtime. Fight for its life right now. This is 21st century warfare, and we're not winning, and they're not winning. They are still in power. They are preparing some type of move. The good news is the public's not buying it. But we could see them try to arrest Trump in the next 11 days. We could see them have, you know, a helicopter flying with missiles and blow, you know, kill him. I mean, I'm telling you, this is what you see in other countries. This is a worldwide crime syndicate so pissed that America is rising again. And by the way, Trump's completely real. We've got patriots in our government that are sick of watching George Soros do this to us. This is a real attempt to take the country back and have policies of prosperity again. It doesn't mean that they're perfect. It doesn't mean there aren't a bunch of good old boys. The point is they're not out to get you and your family. So help is here, ladies and gentlemen. But they are so incredibly angry right now. And I notice it's got hundreds of thousands and millions of views, depending on which channel you look at, of where I put out some audio files warning of the fact that DHS just federalized elections and they're in preparation to overthrow Trump. It doesn't mean they'll get away with it. It means I want to be here in 11, 12 days and folks say, see, Alex, you were wrong. It never happened because we stopped it. And then we can be like the Dark Knight who gets, you know, criticized when he really saved the day. All of you, to use the Batman analogy, are the Dark Knights out there that have got to continue to be criticized, have to continue to be attacked, because the general public are still such babies on average. But the people that count in the military, at the highest levels of intelligence agencies and in corporations that are pro-America and are not out to get the people and who want to make the country great again, they are absolutely aware of what's happening. And the fact that you woke up, the fact that you woke up others, the fact that I woke up so many people and Drudge and others did, created a major wedge into the enemy. The enemy is collapsing worldwide right now. That's why they're panicking. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. InfoWars.com. Stay with us.
Now
on the march. The empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It's a fact that most people who are living through incredibly historic times almost never recognize that it's happening. And some of the most effective individuals fighting against tyranny are too busy fighting tyranny to ever basically take credit for it. But we're not here taking credit for anything because the battle is ongoing. But people listening to this broadcast have to understand it is the opposite of hype when I tell you that there is literally a battle for this country and every other major nation's sovereignty going on right now. Globalism, or private corporate world government, was so arrogant and thought we were so stupid that it could build a world planetary corporate system and just keep denying it existed while they publicly transferred power to themselves. Now, here was the problem. They openly told the intelligentsia, the military brass, you name it, for 60 years, that they were building a global system for peace, and that world government was meant to give the people empowerment. Now that the public understands that globalism is really eugenics-based and not, you know, like the UN says, some loving, sweet, kumbaya system, or like UNICEF says, it's falling apart. So they are striking back. In fact, I was reading The Economist magazine, the latest issue, and they were admitting the answer is the cities. They said globalism still has control of cities. People are in debt. They're living in compact buildings. They basically don't know how to take care of themselves. They're stupid on average. They don't say it like that, but they say they're cosmopolitan. They buy what we do. They like to pay five times more than they should for an apartment because it's trendy. They like to drive cars to go. They don't go out and hunt. They don't go out and fish. They don't go out and farm. They don't roof their own house. They're good little consumers that will rent everything and will live in self-driving, you know, cars and just let us control them. And they admitted that it's key for globalist combines, big banks, to only give money through social engineering, that's Agenda 21, to the big cities. You know, war between rural, suburban systems versus the cities. So they're openly declaring the war. I mean, you see the Hollywood stars we've got on InfoWars.com, Tom Hanks and all these people, so embarrassingly crying for Obama and how beautiful it was and how so sad it's all falling apart. These people are the stupidest, most moronic, pathetic, servile fools the world has ever seen. But here's the problem. The hardcore social engineers that are controlling them aren't. And so everybody think about that. Obama's doing everything he can to stop Trump's mandate. The mandate that swept the House, the Senate, 900 seats in legislatures, a ton of governors. One of the biggest political realignments in our history, and it's happening all over the world at the same time, part of a super wave, a super revolt against globalism being led by patriots in this country, as well as the UK, as well as Russia. And so that's why they project onto us everything that they are and say that, oh, the reason, you know, the Trump one is the Russians, because they know full well the globalists, the communist Chinese, the Saudi Arabians, the EU, the mainstream media, all piled on for Hillary Clinton, and it was a repudiation of all of them. So even if you buy that it was the, quote, Russians, and I've read this report, Zero Hedge has the whole thing posted, it's on InfoWars.com. If you read the stupid CIA report, it goes, on this episode of RT, someone said, I wonder if it's true that Hillary's falling down. Then on this episode, they talked about, will Hillary go to jail? There's a major movement pushing it. Then on another episode, and it was like, mommy, it was like a 10-year-old tattling to mommy. And then he pulled my hair. And then he stole my snow cone. And then he broke my Barbie doll. This was their hack. And again, never a material hack. Imagine Trump sat there for 2 hours. Hearing them go, sir, here's a clip of RT where they said, you know, something about you positive and something negative. Of course some of the Russian media was negative. I mean, as if Russia has this big influence. I mean, our YouTube channel is bigger than RT's here in the U.S. This is just crazy. And I'm not putting down RT. But imagine this, folks. They are saying that RT, you can go read the CIA report, just I mean, it's on InfoWars.com, or just type in, see the CIA briefing Trump was given. And it's this, it's Photoshopped clips, like little screenshots out of like RT and Russian newspapers going, look, they said bad things about Hillary and that's why she lost. What? The reason she lost was the whole MSM put everything they could behind Hillary and it blew up in your faces. And everyone hates you now. They're sick of being force-fed. That's why it blew up in your faces, not the Russians. Of course the Russians have pulled away from the exact same megabanks. And we salute them for that. We hope everybody from Chile to Nigeria, from Mexico to Tunisia, everybody from Japan to Morocco, pulls out of the New World Order and a bunch of mega banks that just make money up out of nothing and create derivatives to bankrupt everybody and enslave everyone. I hope they all go straight to hell. So again, they're crippled, they're out of control, they're falling apart. The problem is they know they're losing everything fast, and they know Trump is intending to prosecute them for their crimes and really clean house. In closing, I'm going to say this to hand the baton tonight. They're already, before he even gets in, moving to repeal Obamacare. He reportedly already has the votes. Republican leadership is panicking. The wall, of course we have to start the building of it. And then through tariffs, if Mexico doesn't comply, very low ones, we can pay for the wall. But they're going, oh, look, he's building it, but we have to pay. He's wrong. Borders means national sovereignty on China. He's already getting ready and has the votes to cut the corporate income tax to bring the jobs back over $1 trillion. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, he's already demanding all the paperwork on Obama, ordering the borders wide open, and all the executive criminal activity, and all the secret orders that Obama signed, where the main body of the paper is secret, only the boil down's public. Trump is about to absolutely come after them. If they would have kissed his butt, he would have still come after them. That's why they're so scared and fighting for their lives, because Trump is a patriot. I'm going to say it again. I've done research. I've checked with the proper channels, and I've also seen what he's done. Trump's for real. They're panicking. Trump's for real. They're panicking. Trump's for real. Trump's mentor for 20-plus years was the top lawyer for the McCarthy Un-American Activities Commission and others in New York, and that's why they're so scared. Trump knows everything. Trump is more John Birch Society than John Birch Society. That's the real Donald Trump. He played possum on him this whole time, waiting, building the database of patriots, building the database of citizens, waiting for this wave to come. Folks, Trump's prescient, okay? That's why they're so scared. They are crapping their drawers right now. They understand the move. They have panic in their eyes. If they try to start a war or they try to kill Trump, the military is going to move against them. So understand that. The military and the FBI and most of the agencies who aren't perfect, but they don't want to be involved with a bunch of child molesters. They're with Trump and the American people. They want to make America great again. This is a historical mission going on, and I can tell you this is now happening and tell you that we are spot on, and our analysis and breakdown, I've been told from the highest levels, is dead on with what's currently happening. We are in the middle of the most epic time this country and this world has ever seen. This is such an amazing time. And even if they're able to kill Trump and try to stop this, the awakening's so big, it's going to blast through all of that. And that's why they're in such panic, because Hollywood and the globalists are a bunch of anti-family, anti-Christian weirdo freaks that are in a cult, basically. Okay? And that's why Hollywood is freaking out and going so crazy right now, because these people are very degenerate, very, very wicked control freaks, who really get off on bringing America down and who wanted to mount our head on the wall and basically celebrate that they finally controlled the U.S., sucked it dry, and used it to build a big, giant, stinking world government. So again, there is a civil war going on between globalists, they're the foreign occupiers, they're the New World Order, against we the people working with Trump and new media, against the collaborator media. When you see MSM folks, that is your sworn enemy, absolutely committed. They've been hired because they hate you and your family. Back to David Knight.
They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe. Lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way.
In defense of human liberty, Alex Jones.
I'll be looking for aid when they
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, and as you just heard from Alex Jones, the globalists don't think that they've lost. They think they're still in the game. As he points out, it can go either way right now. We have one election. We won Brexit. It looks like things are developing in certain countries, people taking back control of their lives. And yet, of course, we saw in the EU, we had one of the people on his way out of the European Union Council, the rotating head of that, said as he was leaving that we have to make sure that we don't let citizens participate in any more of these referendums. He called them adventures. He said, I'm asking EU leaders to stop with adventures like the British and Italian referendums on domestic issues that pose a threat to the EU. So if you're threatening the EU by saying that you want to get out of it, he's saying, don't let them have a vote on that. That's come from the New American, as Alex is pointing out. They have been on the trail of globalism for a very long time, as we have. And we understand what he's really saying here. And we've seen this happen before. We've seen the European Union take out an elected president in Greece and put in a Goldman Sachs banker. And it was Nigel Farage who called him on it and said, who are you to override the will of the people in the place where democracy started? And we're going to look at what's going on with guaranteed income, a universal basic income. This is something else that they're pushing. This is another issue that just got a start with an experiment in Finland. The first people, they're going to give 2,000 citizens a guaranteed income. I want to talk about that and how this all plays to the fact that the globalists are still working on the same plan they've been working on for a very long time. But quickly, I want to remind you that we have a sale, the 2017 Make Our Bodies Great Again initiative. And as we tell you all the time, there's a lot of toxic garbage in your food, your water, your air. That means that you're constantly under chemical siege at every level. Things that are going to make you fat, things that are going to make you sick, things that are going to make you dumbed down. And so you need to make sure all the time that you are getting a base level of vital supplements and nutrients that your body needs to cope with not only the garbage that it's being hit with, but just the basic nutrition that it needs to rebuild itself, even if it wasn't under attack. And this time of year, when so many people are going out with a New Year's resolution that's great, so I'm going to get in better shape, a lot of people will go on some kind of a diet, and as part of that diet, they may expose themselves to even more toxins, or they may eliminate certain nutritional things that they need as they restrict their calories. So it's important, if you're going to do something like that, make sure you got your base covered with a vital nutrients that your body needs to keep going as you participate in that. So what we've done is we've given you 30% off. Let me give you some of the items that are 30% off. Brain Force, Super Male Vitality, Survival Shield X2. That's our nascent iodine. Those are all 30% off. And of course, Brain Force is one of my favorite supplements that we have. I would call it Brain Focus. It's an excellent product. You can really feel it. It focuses your mind in a way that coffee or caffeine simply doesn't do. Some of the items that are 20% off. Secret 12, that's our vitamin B12 in a liquid format. Liver Shield, Knockout, that's our sleep aid, natural ingredients. And Prostaguard, all those are 20% off at InfoWarsLife.com. And if you sign up for AutoShip, you not only get 10% off and guaranteed delivery on the things that you set up on your regularly scheduled AutoShip, but if you set up a group of items on your regular shipment that is more than $50, you will also get free shipping as well as the 10% discount as well as the guaranteed delivery. So it's a great way to support your health and to support InfoWars, and we really do appreciate your support. Now, getting back to this news, not only is the EU saying, hey guys, we need to stop giving people a say because they're making the wrong decisions. They're threatening us. They're threatening our political body because they don't like what we're doing. They say it's making them poorer. It's making them more dependent. And now they readily admit that. Yeah, the policies haven't worked out too well for a lot of the people. But, you know, they're more efficient for us, is what they're saying. And so when we look at this program that's coming out of Finland, and again, this is the first of the year, Finland kicked off a program for 2,000 citizens, said we're going to give them a guaranteed income. And this is being sold everywhere as a universal basic income. Remember, Switzerland had a referendum on this earlier this year. And they said, no thanks, we don't want that. The Swiss are still self-reliant enough, still independent enough, still wise enough to see what this is. This is an effort to make you dependent on the government. It was amazing to me to see Charles Murray. And, of course, many of you may not remember who he is. I remember who he was because he was a very respected libertarian economist, and he's still around. He wrote a book called Losing Ground, and it was a basis for a lot of welfare reform during the Reagan administration. In that book, he made a very clear case that the welfare programs that had been put in place, that were put in there, they said, out of compassion for people, had actually made people more dependent, more passive on government. And, you know, it really made me sick to see that Charles Murray is now one of those people out there promoting universal basic income. He knows that welfare makes people dependent on the government. It makes them weak. And yet he's pushing it. Why? Because the next thing coming, folks, is not a wave of cheap immigration labor from another foreign country or from Central or South America. The next wave that is coming to attack us. And, of course, we have to address that. We have to understand that as Obama is bringing in 220 illegal alien children per day, as he's escalating the immigration towards the end of his regime, we have to understand that that is, I think they worked out the numbers, in just the state, in just Washington, D.C. area, that would be like 12 middle schools that he's adding each day. Who's going to pay for the schools? You are, in your property taxes. What's that mean? That means that you're going to be forced to live, just as Alex was talking about, this is Agenda 21, folks. You're going to be forced to live in a teeny tiny little 100 or 200 square foot box in a city. And you're not going to be able to get out because they're going to control the transportation. First of all, you won't own a car. If you own a car, you won't be allowed to drive on the roads because only their robot cars will be allowed to drive. You will be considered to be a safety hazard. Even if you're not a terrorist that wants to mow people down, they'll still say, you're too dangerous to be on the road with our robot cars, so you're going to be banned from the roads. And that allows them to keep you in the cities. And, of course, you're not going to be able to afford much of a house because the property taxes are going to be so high. You pay property taxes even if you rent, of course. You don't see them itemized, but you still pay those property taxes. And property taxes are what are paying for the 12 schools a day that we're adding as Barack Obama brings these people in. And it's not just even adding a school. They got to be educated in the language of their choice. They don't want them to assimilate. They don't want them to become one with the Americans that are already here. They want them to remain distinct so they can divide and conquer our country. But when we look at this, when we look at the universal basic income and the way that they're putting, they're bringing this up because they know the next wave is going to be massive unemployment, because it's not just going to be manufacturing jobs. It's going to be blue-collar jobs of every level. It's going to be white-collar jobs at every level. It's going to be in every industry that they're going to be replacing you with robots and artificial intelligence. That is their plan. That's why they keep looking at these 2020 to 2030 sustainability plans. That's where this is all headed. And it is also a massive, oppressive tyranny that they're setting up. One of these articles that came out in the last couple of weeks was how Uber was accusing New York City of snooping on its own passengers. They said, hey, the New York City police are demanding that we turn over sensitive passenger information data, like where you're dropped off. And they want to piece together details of every trip you ever take. Where would they get that idea from? Well, it's just like I was talking about before, geospatial intelligence. The government wants to know everything that you're doing, and they're plugging it into an algorithm, and that algorithm is going to determine whether or not they think you are a risk. And nobody exemplifies this better than Uber themselves. It was just a couple of years ago. It was back in 2014, in November, as a matter of fact. There were some concerns because there'd been some reported cases of rapes by Uber drivers, and so people were saying, hey, we need to look at the background checks on Uber drivers. And Uber got very upset. BuzzFeed reported back in November 2014 that at an off-the-record dinner, an Uber executive suggested that they dig up dirt on journalists. They said, hey, I can hire five or six guys and spend a couple of $1 million and find out every bit of dirt on this journalist and destroy them personally. And at the same time, they removed a blog that they had on the Uber website that was called Rides of Glory. And in that, they would take a look at the same information that they're now telling people, oh, be afraid of the New York City police. Yeah, you should be afraid that New York City wants this information on you. But you should also be afraid that Uber keeps it, that Uber stores it, that Uber themselves use this in their blog that they later deleted, and I've got a paper copy of it. They called it Rides of Glory, and they took a look at where people were making trips, and they made inferences as to whether or not they were involved in extramarital affairs or visiting a prostitute. Now, That's the issue behind all this. The fact that they can blackmail people, the fact that they can make false positives about you, saying that you are cheating on somebody or saying that you are a terrorist based on this metadata. That's the pre-crime Minority Report angle that is coming with all this as well. That's it for today's broadcast. Join us tomorrow at 11 Central, noon Eastern.